Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, there's a whole lot going on, not only here locally, but at the state level in politics and obviously at the national level as well. And here to join us to talk about that is Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. Happy to be with you.
Ron, well, the much-anticipated impeachment inquiry proceeding has started, and I have to say that what I watched of the testimony thus far, in many respects, it's very revealing. A lot of these back-channel, back-room conversations here and there about what was going on and what the desire of the president was, and these are his own appointed individuals that are saying this. And it's not quite what the Republicans have been saying about these communications all along, in my view.
I agree with that, and I think what's happened in the last couple of weeks is that more and more it looks like, you know, it's not just smoke, there's fire. But the question is the fire impeachable? And some Republicans are now saying that they think that there was wrongdoing, the president didn't do the right thing, some people around him did the wrong thing, but that they don't think it rises to an impeachable offense. And, of course, that's a political definition. The Constitution doesn't, besides talking about treason and bribery and high crimes and misdemeanors, it doesn't get into what would be or what would not be an impeachable offense.
I was surprised in the last couple of days that Senator John Kennedy's comments. It was the first time that I've seen him reveal the possibility of this not being a perfect call. And obviously, if his intent was to investigate a political rival, that it might be an impeachable offense.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say, and there are a lot of Republicans who are saying things like that so far. Most of them, you know, it always has a but at the end of it. You know, and it's but, it's not impeachable, but, you know, it shouldn't be done a year before the election, you know. But the other side did it too. And so it's not clear to what extent, you know, there's a chance that any sizable number of Republicans, particularly the Senate, would break from their party and oppose, support conviction of Donald Trump. But we'll have to see. I think Republicans in the Senate, maybe not so in Louisiana and the South, but Republicans in the Senate have a really tough time on this issue because, you know, you take some of these senators who are in places like Colorado, for example, or Arizona or Iowa that are oftentimes swing states. And if they vote to convict President Trump, they're gonna lose the bulk of their Republican support. And when you're a Republican and you lose the bulk of your Republican support and you don't get Democrats to rescue you, you're just out of the picture. And we saw that happen to Jeff Flake when he went through that process last year. So it's a, you know, for Republican senators, it's almost reaching the point where they would, in effect, be trading their career in the Senate for a vote on impeachment. And, of course, most voters would say, well, they should. You're there to do what's right. You're not there just to do what you need to do to stay in office.
The polls have indicated they still less than 50% think that President Trump should be impeached. And obviously there's a huge split between Democrats and Republicans on this issue. When you have open hearings like this and you have an opportunity to kind of evaluate the witness for yourself, the credibility of the witness, whether or not there's bias or prejudice or whatever it may be, Do you suspect that these polls will change much?
I think it's possible. You know, every now and then in these presidential issues, the kaleidoscope turns, and when the kaleidoscope turns, it could be good or bad for both sides, and so we have to see. But I think the public testimony will have an impact. It may just harden, you know, each side's feelings. But one of the things to watch in the polls, and we haven't seen any dramatic movement there so far, is among independent voters. You know, we know the Republicans are supporting Trump to, about 80% or more. And we know the Democrats are opposing Trump almost unanimously. But we still see not enough independent voters supporting impeachment to make it a more viable political option for some of these members of Congress.
When you talked about Republican senators and kind of the catch-22 that they find themselves in, I often look, you know, inward to Louisiana. We have been the beneficiary of an open primary style of elections for a long, long time. Do you believe that they have more political maneuverability because of that?
I think so. Both Senators Kennedy and Cassidy here are generally popular senators. It would not be easy to defeat either one of them. It probably wouldn't be possible to defeat either one of them for re-election, given their current standings. And as long as they are seen as being on the Trump side in the current political equation, they're okay in terms of re-election. Now, you know, you may not agree with that, that position, but politically they're okay. What they have to watch for is if it ever gets to a point where Trump supporters start turning against the president based on the activities they see he's engaged in. And if that happens, it changes the dynamics. But there is no evidence that that's going to happen anytime soon. You know, the president's job rating among all voters in this country is averaged about 43% to 44% of the vote for years. And it's still, you know, in that 43%, 44% range. So it's actually had very, very little effect on his political standing. It has, I think, solidified some of his opponents. But it really hasn't cost him much in terms of people who have been for him all along.
Well, Ron, talking about his opponents, the Democratic primary, the fluidity of this thing has just been absolutely incredible. Now we have additional candidates talking about possibly entering the fray. What's going on there?
Well, I think a few things are going on. The big thing going on is that a lot of Democratic leaders, and I'm talking about elected officials, political strategists, political party people, have come to the conclusion that all of their candidates are potentially weak in a general election, and that none of them look like a good bet to beat Donald Trump. And that is very, very worrisome to them. So there is some pressure building now to find another candidate who could unite the party and go on and defeat Trump. At first people thought it would be Joe Biden, but a lot of Democrats have come to the conclusion that he's just too fragile of a candidate to risk nominating. And then Elizabeth Warren, just about a month or two ago, had really impressive momentum. And she was moving up, you know, into the first place in state polls and national polls. Well, that momentum has been halted, and I think it's due primarily to her inability to explain how she would pay for this massive Medicare for All program that she's supporting, and also sort of the economics of all of her programs, which involve trillions and trillions of dollars in extra spending. And I think that scares a lot of Democrats. So they're looking for somebody who can combine sort of Joe Biden's positioning, sort of center-left positioning, but at the same time can appeal to the you know, more of the far left of the party. And it doesn't look like there's anybody in the race right now who does that except for Pete Buttigieg. He's moving up right now. He's slowly moving up in the national polls. But there was a poll that came out today that shows him leading the Iowa caucuses. There was a poll that came out a couple of days ago that showed him running a second in New Hampshire. And you know, he's already in position where he could win both Iowa and New Hampshire. And if he does that, then, you know, the question is, does he become the front runner? Does he become that candidate people are looking for? I think a lot of Democrats are concerned about him because he's only 37 years old, and he's only been mayor of a small city. And so they're not sure that can ultimately fly in the general election. But he seems to be the recipient right now of a lot of these Democrats who are just concerned about the previous frontrunners.
Well, what's interesting about that is that I guess it's fair to say he's anything but center of left. I mean, left of center. I mean, he's like way out on the left, is he not?
Well, he's, you know, it depends how you look at it. I think in terms of national politics, he is pretty far left. But in terms of the Democratic candidates right now, I would think he would come closest to being a center left candidate along with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
As it stands now, because he has not moved all the way to the left on the Medicare for All issue and a number of other issues like that, and has been taking a more, relatively speaking, a more moderate position. So he is. I think probably best positioned ideologically right now to give the Democratic Party what it wants. And that's somebody who seems moderate and can use moderate language to talk about issues, but at the same time can appeal to the left end of the party.
Ron, when we come back, we'll bring it closer to home, talk about this Supreme Court race as well as this governor's race that is getting very, very nasty. When we return with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. This is Newell on WWL. Stay with us. We're back with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, the governor's race is really gotten nasty here. It's a close race. I guess it's all going to be all about the turnout. The most recent polls have Governor John Bel Edwards a little bit ahead, but well within the margin of error.
Yeah, it's very, very close. The three public polls that we've seen show anything from a tie race to Edwards ahead by 2 or 3 points. I've heard some private discussions about some of the private polls, and apparently they're all showing about the same. So it's a close race, and by any means, and it depends on turnout. Based on the early voting, it looks like the African-American turnout will be up from where it was in the primary, which is good for Edwards. But, you know, you never know what Donald Trump can do turning out his vote. He's been in the state now 3 times, as of tomorrow, and that gives him a chance to turn out his vote. So it's probably going to be a nail biter, and we could be up a while on Saturday night waiting for the results.
Absolutely. Just kind of curious, I just find it still a little incredulous that someone can make their way through a gubernatorial campaign and reveal very, very little about oneself.
Well, you know, the thing about the way the open election system works, like we have in Louisiana, is, you know, if you make a runoff, a multi-candidate runoff, then you only have about 4.5 weeks where you have to be, you know, publicly exposed during that. And I think Rasponi's campaign has probably done a good job in controlling the environment for him. They only did one debate. And according to my knowledge, they're not doing a lot of press interviews, if any at all, and so it's a pretty tight campaign where they're not exposing the candidate to much risk. Now, I do think, you know, that has a downside. David Vitter tried to do that to some extent 4 years ago, and it hurt him. even though he did do more debates. And I do think that Eddie Rasponi is not wearing that well, which is why Edwards has a small lead right now, because Rasponi had a lot of momentum coming into the runoff.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The few times that he has talked, it's really come back to haunt him. It being reported in one of the news agencies right now is about a secret recording of Eddie Rasponi claiming that high-dollar fundraisers are more important than attending debates. I guess there's some truth in that, but you certainly would like the constituency to know a little bit about you. Ron, I apologize. I got to get to a news break. We really appreciate your insight, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Phil.
All right. It's Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. You can get that online, and it is worth doing so. Ron's got great observations about what's going on politically here and around the country. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.